Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's game day, Brew Crew fans, and we're here to get you ready before first pitch.
We'll have today's starting lineups, and we'll debate the hot topics in Milwaukee. Plus, you'll hear from the skipper.
Now, it's the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes, it is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm your host, the Mayor Mitch Ross, getting you set for Game 2 of 3 down in Tampa, Florida, between the Brewers and the Tampa Bay Rays. On tonight's show, we'll hear from Brewers manager Craig Counsell, who spoke after the Brewers' 2-0 win last night. Brandon Woodruff, of course, made his Major League debut. Counsell was pleased with that debut, we're all sure of that. For the roundtable, we're joined by Rami Makhlouf of the Wendy's Big Show, weekdays 2 to 6 right here on The Fan. He's also the host of this fine show as well, most nights here on The Fan, as well as Adam Rigg of the Brewer Nation and Fan Rag Sports Network. We'll also go inside the clubhouse and hear from our WSSP Milwaukee baseball insider, Adam McKelvey, who joined the Wendy's Big Show yesterday afternoon. The Wendy's Big Show, of course, live from the Wisconsin State Fair yesterday, as well as all of next week. So be sure to tune in each and every weekday 2 to 6 here on The Fan. First, let's get you caught up on last night's action. The Brewers improved to 58-53 on the year with that 2-0 win last night in the opener in Tampa last night. Brandon Woodruff, he tightroped out of danger a few times, but all in all, it was a pretty solid major league debut as he gets the win. But first, the game would be scoreless until the top of the third. Orlando Arcia, he had a big night last night. He would triple, and Eric Thames would come up to the plate and knock him in.
2-2. And there's a base hit, and it's an RBI single for Thames as Arcia is in with the first run of the ball game.
Yeah, 1-0 there in the top of the third. The Brewers would stake themselves out to an early lead. It would stay that way. Again, Brandon Woodruff in trouble most of the night. However, in the bottom of the seventh, the Rays were threatening. Corey Dickerson was stretching it from third to home here on this extra base hit, but he would not be so lucky.
Here it comes. And that's a rope down the line and left, and that's a fair ball to the corner. Brown plays it off to Karam. Dickerson rounds third, heading home. Relay from Arcia, and he is out at home! Braun, Arcia, Pena, down goes Dickerson, and the Brewers keep the lead.
And yeah, that highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin, Matt LaPay on the call right there. Orlando Arcia, again, big night last night. He seems to be doing that play almost once a week here, where we're getting a throw from left to short to home to gun a guy at home plate. Following half inning, Orlando Arcia would step to the plate, again continuing that big night, top of the eighth.
Second inning of work now for Sergio Romo, and Arcia, first pitch swinging, deep one to left, and it's gone! Orlando Arcia!
Yeah, Arcia, highlight courtesy of Fox Sports Wisconsin. Brandon Woodruff will go 6 1/3, allowing 7 hits, no runs, obviously none earned, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. He threw 97 pitches, again in a 6 1/3 on his way to a victory in his major league debut. Josh Hader came in, worked an inning and a third, looked good. 1 walk, 2 strikeouts. Anthony Swarzak with another hold. He went a third of an inning, and Corey Knebel gets the save with striking out the side. He's got a 1.58 ERA on the year, and that's now 21 saves for Corey Knebel. The loss goes to Jacob Feria. He went 6 innings, allowing 4 hits, 1 run. It was earned. 2 walks, 9 strikeouts against Brewers hitting yesterday. He falls to 5-2 on the year. The Rays, 57-54. The Brewers improved to 58-53 on the year. Let's get you to today's starting lineups.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on The Fan. Who's batting first? Here's today's look around the diamond with the starting lineups. Sponsored by Waukesha Sports Cards. Do you have an upcoming charity event or fundraiser? Call 262-544-0959 to find out how they can help. Waukesha Sports Cards has a great selection of authentic autographed sports memorabilia.
We'll start first with the visiting Milwaukee Brewers down in Tampa this afternoon. First pitch just over an hour from right now. Eric Thames leads off and is DHing today, batting second in right field. It's Domingo Santana batting third, and in left field, Ryan Braun batting fourth and playing third base today. Travis Shaw batting fifth, and at first base is Jesus Aguilar batting sixth, and behind home plate for the crew, Manny Pena batting seventh and playing second base today. It's Eric Sogard batting eighth, and back in center field, it's Keon Broxton batting ninth, the aforementioned Orlando Arcia. Doing the pitching for the Brewers today, it's Zach Davies. Over to the Tampa Bay Rays. Corey Dickerson leads off and is in left field for them. DH batting second is Lucas Duda. Batting third and playing third, Evan Longoria. Cleaning up for the Rays today and playing first base, Logan Morrison. Batting fifth and in right field, it's Steven Souza Jr. Batting sixth and at second base, Brad Miller. Batting seventh and at shortstop, it's Danny Echevarria. Batting eighth and in center field, Malik Smith. Batting ninth and doing the catching for the Rays tonight is Jesus Sucre. Those lineups again for you one more time for the Brewers. Thames, Santana, Braun, Shaw, Aguilar, Pena, Sogard, Broxton, and Arcia. And for the Rays, it's Dickerson, Duda, Longoria, Morrison, Souza, Miller, Echevarria, Smith, and Sucre. More on that pitching matchup now. Zach Davies goes for the crew. He's 12-5 on the year with a 4.42 ERA. He went seven innings, allowing three runs, struck out six, but took the losses last time out in a 4-2 loss to the Cubs on Sunday afternoon at Miller Park. He did win four out of five starts prior to that. He's also never faced Tampa Bay in his career. And for the Rays, Alex Cobb is on the mound today for them, 9-7 on the year with a 3.89 ERA. Cobb was lit up in Houston his last start on Monday night. He allowed eight runs on nine hits in just three innings pitched, but he's been one of Tampa's most consistent starters this season overall. He's also never faced the Brewers. Let's get you today's scoop from the skipper.
This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. What's Craig Council have planned for today's game? Let's find out with today's scoop from the skipper on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yeah, Brewers win 2-0 last night in the opener against the Rays last night. Brandon Woodruff goes 6 1/3 to get the win in his major league debut, and manager Craig Council, of course, was impressed.
What was so impressive to me was the first two innings and kind of the composure that he handled the first two innings with. He wasn't getting hit hard, and but it took him a while to get into the rhythm of the game, and I thought he just handled himself really well in those tough spots. I mean, it's he loads the bases, and both the hitters that he loaded the bases, he came back and he got right ahead of them. He went right at him and got ahead of him, and that was really good to see. And then after that, he did. He got into a pretty good groove. Threw a ton of strikes after that, and it was good to watch.
And then in the third, it seemed like that caught stealing. After the caught stealing, the stress level of his innings seemed to go down. Was that a key play for you?
Well, I mean, it's always helpful for sure. But I just thought the slider was a real weapon, I thought, against the right-handers. He threw it, he got ahead in the count with it. He threw it whenever he wanted, whenever he needed strikes to keep them off balance. And then, for most of the night, he beat their hitters with the fastball, and that's a good sign. He trusts that fastball, and he threw some good changeups as well to their left-handers. So, he used his three pitches, when he needed them, and it was a very advanced start the way he went about it. It was impressive.
Do you have a number in mind as far as pitches for him coming in?
We passed it. Yeah. Yeah, I just felt like he was throwing the ball so well, and Robertson was leading off the inning, and I thought he was our, and rather than, the choice was to use one of our right-handers, maybe Jared, for one hitter, and I thought just, why use Jared for one hitter when if something happens in a 1-0 game, because he was throwing the ball so well. So, he went out and struck the guy out. So, it was a big start, and obviously again a guy coming up and giving us a big boost and filling in a spot in rotation that we really needed.
How concerned were you that it was going to be a short start just after those first two innings?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't think he was getting hit hard. I thought he was making good pitches. They found some, you know, they found the outfield turf a little bit, but I thought he was pitching well and making quality pitches. So I thought he'd get through it. You know, bases loaded, two outs. It's always concerning. First and third, nobody out. That was probably the inning where he really, you know, did a nice job to work out of something. He struck out, gets a strikeout and a short fly ball. So, and then he gets Longoria with the bases loaded. So, he certainly worked hard for the first two innings, there's no doubt. But, like I said, the composure and the way he went about it, making pitches in stressful situations early in the game in your first big league start is something that, you know, leaves me really impressed.
Any other night, we'd be asking you about Orlando Arcia and our first three questions about...
Well... Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't be because he had a heck of a game. I mean, I think obviously he was the offense tonight, and he was the defense tonight too. And him and Brawny combined on a, you know, like Manny's, you know, really, really shined with the pickoffs. Orlando's not really shining with the relay throws, and it's, you know, it's a real weapon. That one kind of, when Brawny got it, when Brawny threw it, I knew we had a really good chance. It set up really good, and Orlando made a perfect throw.
That's kind of an underrated part. It seems like Braun is always so accurate with that first throw, which sets up Arcia.
Yeah, that's exactly right. He's making good throws, and those are such huge plays because plays at the plate are, you know, the difference between safe out and the play at the plate is, you know, the rally continues is the big thing when the guy's safe. I mean, it's still a dangerous rally right there, and plays at the plate, outs at the plate, which Orlando, I think that's three now, three or four have been, you know, they're rally killers.
Will today's weather affect the game? Let's get today's field and game conditions. Brought to you by your neighborhood Ace Hardware stores. Locally owned with everything you need to get ready for the big game. Starting with help. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show. On the Fan.
57 minutes from first pitch from Tropicana Field in Tampa, Florida. Obviously, it's a dome stadium, so weather will not be an issue inside affecting the play. If you're wondering, outside, 88 degrees, feels like 97 in Tampa, Florida right now. It looks like the daily showers are moving through, so looks like it's going to be a decent afternoon around Tampa this afternoon. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, it's the roundtable. We'll be joined by Rami Makloff and Adam Rigg of the Brewer Nation. Again, this is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
It's time to debate the big issues surrounding the crew. Get ready for the roundtable. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on The Fan.
Yes, it is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mayor Mitch Ross here getting you set for game two of three between the Brewers and the Rays down in Tampa. Just inside of an hour from first pitch. One quick update in the Cubs. Just as Anthony was reading his update at the top of the hour, John Jay, of course, got a RBI single to make it 7-3 Cubs, but currently the Nationals have two men on and nobody out in the top of the eighth, Daniel Murphy at the plate, so we'll see if they can put a couple of runs on the board. Time now for the roundtable. Joining us first, you can hear him weekdays 2-6 right here on The Fan, also the host of this fine show, Rami Makloff. Rami, thanks for a couple of minutes this afternoon. How you doing?
Doing well. Are you? I should have told you all that stuff about the Cubs game.
Yeah. Are you watching it? Okay. Well, how? I was gonna say, how is this going today? Are they gonna pull this out, you think, or is the bullpen too bad?
Edwin Jackson was much better than he should have been, but the Cubs eventually took advantage of the Nationals bullpen. But like you said, Nationals threatening right now, 7-3 with two men on and nobody out in the eighth inning. So
right. I have a list of a running list this year of guys that I'm shocked are on major league rosters, and Edwin Jackson definitely is in that category, as well as Ubaldo Jimenez. Adam Rosales was the other one, and I think I saw another name today, but I can't remember who it was. But yeah, I can't believe he is pitching in the major leagues. Also joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is the Brewer Nation. He also writes for the FanRag Sports Network. It's Adam Rigg. Adam, explain for our listeners how terrible moving is.
This is a welcome respite to have 5 to 10 minutes to sit here on my tired legs and body and talk to you guys about baseball. So, yes, moving is the worst. As my aunt said, doesn't moving get old? And I said, it's the oldest. So it's both the worst and the oldest, you know, all at the same time. I hate it so much.
Yeah, that's why I try not to do it. I try to do it every couple of years or so. But one of these days I'm going to have to buy a house probably pretty soon. And that's the mother of all moving right there. So I won't hold you too long here. Adam, let's start with you first. What was your takeaway from Brandon Woodruff's major league debut last night?
I was pretty darn impressed. Came as advertised for the most part. Everything moves. Pretty good control. First couple innings, obviously, loaded the bases in both of them and worked his way out of jams, but also got into those jams, which can't be discounted. So I think there's maybe it's a little bit of nervousness because it was ultimately his second take at his first major league start. So maybe there's a little bit of, you know, anxiety, more or less. But for the most part, I thought he pitched a good, solid game. I watched it back later. I didn't watch it live, mostly because, again, moving.
Yep.
But I watched it back on the DVR. And for the most part, he seemed to do what he wanted to do. And he and Pena had a great game plan together. And they really picked apart the Rays hitters for the most part. So, you know, I'm impressed. It wouldn't shock me if he earned himself another turn. And it'd be interesting to see what he can do going forward here until Chase Anderson's healthy enough to rejoin the rotation.
What was your takeaway, Rami? Were you impressed with the way he was able to dance out of danger there the first couple innings and really settle in last night?
I was, and I agree with what Riggs said there, that there's probably some nerves making your major league debut. But the thing is, especially for a guy who has the stuff that Brandon Woodruff does, usually they're pretty good when they first come up to the majors. What makes those guys have some staying power and be a quality pitcher for a long time is once the league has seen them once or twice, you know, through a season and then make the adjustments that they're going to make.
Getting there is the easy part. It's staying there. That's the hard part, right?
Right. Baseball is a game of adjustments on both sides. And you'll see sometimes a young hitter will have a lot of success when he gets up to the major leagues and then there's some film on him and pitchers make those adjustments and it's on the hitter to counter with their own adjustments. And the same thing goes for a young pitcher as good as Brandon Woodruff. He has the stuff that he can look pretty good his first few times facing somebody, but does he have the baseball knowledge and the work ethic to go through those scouting reports and go through that tape and make the adjustments he's going to have to make later in his career to have the staying power?
And do you think, Adam, this will be a one start and sent down type of thing? I know there's been a lot of up and down, a lot of roster moves lately. I know Jet Bandy went on the disabled list yesterday for 10 days. Do you think this is just a one start deal and he'll be sent down, or will Woodruff have to make some adjustments?
Well, no, I don't think it'll be a one start and send. If they're going to do that, they would have done that today, and they haven't announced any roster moves because if you're going to send them down, there's no point in keeping them on the roster for the next 3 days before you need, that turn comes back around. So, no, I think he probably earned himself a second start based on the circumstantial evidence and how well he pitched in Tampa. And as far as adjustments go, Ryan is absolutely right. As far as staying power and being able to stick in baseball and be – Woodruff was a low-round draft pick, and he meaning a high number, and he has worked his butt off to get through the minor league system and to get to where he is today. I mean, this isn't a guy who was drafted in 2016, 2017, like Corbin Burns, you know, who's flying his way up the system. This is a guy who's ground a little bit to get where he is right now. So the beauty part of it is, as Rami mentioned, it's kind of your second time through baseball is where you really see those adjustments come through. And inside the game itself, you know, first time through the order, second time through the order, third time through the order. That's where Brent Suter, for example, has struggled early on as a starter, is that third time through the order. So guys have to make in-game adjustments. But team to team, Woodruff's next start is going to come in the other league even. He's going to face a National League team, I believe, unless he catches the Twins. But even still, these are two teams that he's not going to see very often as a starting pitcher. So hopefully he can, you know, kind of not breeze through these first couple of games. But, you know, have a situation where he's able to just do what he wants and not have to worry about kind of airing himself out because those teams, they don't come back around that often.
Talking with Adam Rigg of the Brewer Nation as well as Rami Makloff. Follow him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting. Rami, I know you guys had this as a topic yesterday. Orlando Arcia, again, really the only offense for the Brewers last night. They get two runs again. I know it's been a rough stretch for the Brewers offense. Is it just a funk or are there bigger issues at hand here?
I'm not ready to say that there are bigger issues at hand here, but I am starting to wonder. There's a little bit of doubt creeping into the back of my mind as to whether what we saw before the All-Star break from this offense was the real deal, or if maybe there was a little bit of fool's gold. Because something that dawned on me the other day when I was thinking about this Brewers team and their offensive struggles was that the list of guys on that roster with a lengthy, successful track record as major league hitters is Ryan Braun. That's the list. The rest of the guys in that lineup and throughout the roster are guys that were either, you know, young guys who were kind of coming on the scene and starting to blossom a little bit, or guys who were veterans and having career years and possibly playing over their heads. I'm not saying that that is the case, but I'm just saying that we do have to start to wonder almost a month after the All-Star break, and this team has scored more than four runs three times, whether or not this offense is going to just wake up. And they rely so heavily on the home run that I don't know that they can put together enough base hits to be a successful offense for a long stretch. So unless they start seeing some of that power again and getting some of that power back, I don't know that this offense necessarily does turn around. And this is nothing like 2014 in terms of the circumstances, because that was a team that was supposed to do well and then sort of faded. This is a team that has surprised everybody. But the thing that ended up dooming that 2014 team was an offense that sort of started to hibernate and never really woke up, or woke up just a little bit too late. And that could be the same thing that cost them a division championship once again here in 2017.
The floor is yours, Big Rig, on that one. I what do you think about the offense?
I think Robbie makes a lot of good points. I think we're seeing a guy like Travis Shaw who, for example, who got into a bad stretch in Boston and they benched him and never really let him work his way back out. This is Shaw's first second, really, down stretch of the season. He had a spot in May, I believe it was, where he looked like, oh, is Travis Shaw going to do what he did in Boston? People were asking me that back in May. And he recovered and was fantastic through the rest of that month, June and July. So he's the type of guy, just as, again, one example, that you kind of go, there's ebbs and flows as these guys establish themselves as big league, everyday type players. And it is very noticeable, especially when Ryan Braun is out of the lineup, just how low this team is on overall experience, major league level experience. You've got guys that are in their 30s, you know, Manny Pena's no spring chicken. And when Steven Vogt's in the lineup, he's a guy with a decent amount of experience at the big league level. But outside of those guys, Thames was gone for a while. VR's young, just bursting out of the scene. Domingo Santana's, you know, I think right now working through an adjustment period. And he's been having a fantastic season at this point. His July was tremendous. I think his weighted runs created plus is over 150, not to get too, you know, statistical on you guys, but or the listeners. But just with 100 is league average on that stat, that's just a tremendous month. So I think these guys are making their way and really working through some of those adjustments and also working through – there's got to be pressure on them at this point. There's got to be – That All-Star break came at the worst time for the Brewers offense. They had rattled off, what, 9 of 11, I think, was their wins. And then all of a sudden they had 4 days to sit and think about it, and then they're coming out of the gates. And granted, out of the gates they played, Phillies aside maybe, they played some really good pitching, and they caught Aaron Nola twice in those Phillies series, so, and he's a very good pitcher as well. So they've really faced some tough competition on the mound, for what that's worth. I haven't looked up, you know, quality of opponents anytime recently, but they've really been going through a stretch of tough pitching. And hopefully, you know, they're able to take advantage as some of this settles back in. Tampa, they have Chris Archer on Sunday, for example, so you hope they can at least get another game tonight, maybe win the series without having to worry about that. But there's a lot of good pitchers in baseball this year, despite the home run ball. And as Robbie pointed out, with their percentage of runs scored by the home run being as high as it is, when this team, there's a lot of strikeout on this team as well. So,
but isn't that every team, though? Isn't that, I mean, every team relies on the home run and strikes out a lot, I feel like, more so than ever.
There's some of that, absolutely. Like the Dodgers, for example, have an even higher percentage of their runs scored by the home run than the Brewers do. They just haven't stopped hitting the home runs yet. So, and they have better contact hitters on their team, I think, as well overall. They don't strike out as much. Cody Bellinger strikes out a ton and has over 30 home runs. But, you know, that's each case-by-case basis. Up and down the lineup, with the exception of maybe Eric Sogard as one hitter, Cam Broxton when he's right. Thames is pretty good bat to ball skills. Ryan Braun, obviously. But there's a decent amount of strikeout on this team. So when you're not hitting the home runs because you're not making the great contact, you know, not putting the ball in play can hurt you at times.
Talking with Rami Makhlouf as well as Adam Rigg here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. One more for you, Rami. Orlando Arcia, as we've mentioned a couple of times here today, had himself a nice ball game last night. Do you think it's time to try him in the leadoff spot? I saw a little bit of that chatter last night during the game as well. I know he's been, you know, tearing the cover off the ball for a good period of time here during the season. Is that something you might try to get this offense going, or you just leave him where he is?
Yeah, and we mentioned that yesterday on the big show. I didn't hate the idea of putting Eric Thames in the leadoff spot. I know a lot of people did, because you look at him and you go, well, he can't really run, and people like that prototypical leadoff hitter who's got some speed and can make his way around the bases either via the steal or even on a ground out or a simple base hit, make his way from first to third. So I understand that, but Craig Counsell is just trying to see if he can make anything work. Eric Thames is one of your better on-base percentage guys and has been since the All-Star break, batted almost .300 in the month of July. So he's starting to get back to that a little bit more disciplined plate approach, and we don't see the power yet, but Craig Counsell just wants somebody at the top of that lineup who can get on base and set the table for some guys who hopefully also get on base behind him, and maybe you can manufacture some runs that way. But if that's what you're trying to do, Orlando Arcia is getting on base as much as anybody, and he does have some speed and can do those things on the base pass that I just talked about. So if you're Craig Counsell and you're just throwing things at the wall and seeing what sticks, I don't see why not give Orlando Arcia a shot at that leadoff spot, and maybe he can jumpstart some things. This is an offense that needs to do something to start scoring some runs again. Again, three times they've scored four runs or more since the All-Star break, and you're just not going to win baseball games or enough baseball games to make a playoff run unless that changes. I say give the guy a chance, but Craig Counsell seems set on keeping Orlando Arcia in that eight spot. He actually told reporters, if I'm not mistaken, the other day, that he doesn't plan on moving Orlando Arcia out of that eight spot. And I don't know why he's so dead set on that. It doesn't make much sense to me, but I would give it a try. I don't know why he's not. It doesn't make much sense to me.
He is Rami Makhlouf here on weekdays 2 to 6 here on the Fan on the Wendy's Big Show, as well as each and every night before this before Brewer games on this station. Follow him on Twitter at Rami is tweeting. Rami, I'll let you get back to your Saturday afternoon here. Thanks for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, Cubs gave up a run on a throwing error on a potential double play, so now it's 7-4, but then they got out of that inning, so now we're in the bottom of the eighth, Cubs winning 7-4.
So the Nats only have one more bat to make this happen.
Yes, sir.
All righty.
I'll talk to you later.
All right, take it easy, Rami. There he is on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Also, I got a couple of questions. Oh, one or two more left for Big Rig here. I guess I'll let him say his piece on Orlando Arcia potentially leading off here. What are your thoughts on that?
Real quick, I'll just say that, first of all, in the American League lineup with the DH present, Orlando Arcia basically is the leadoff hitter in front of Thames, because Thames has been hitting two for so much of the year. So the next couple of games is not really something to worry about, just that you don't get it in the first inning, but the Brewers have been great scoring runs in the first inning all season anyway, so it's not that big of a deal. Overall, the reasons that Counsell's kind of intimated as to why he wants to keep Arcia in the eighth spot, in part it's because hitting eighth in a National League lineup is not easy to do. Most guys,
it's kind of a special skill, I mean, because you're not getting anything to hit, usually. I mean, they're trying to get you out so they can get to that pitcher, and... You know.
Well, yeah. They're trying to get you out, but they're also trying to give you junk to chase, and they're trying to get you to get yourself out. And if you don't, well, then you maybe walk if there's a base open, or even if there's not a base loaded situation, then they can go after the pitcher
right, to
get that easier out. So, yeah, the fact that he's been able to do what he's done, they're showing on TV right now, .321 average since May 18th, which is ninth best in the National League,
yep,
for Orlando Arcia. That type of production from down the lineup, if you can get, you know, your fifth, sixth guy on base once in a while, then you can maybe get another hit behind him to move him in. So often in the last few years with the Brewers, you know, you get to the seventh, eighth spot in the lineup, and basically you're wasting an inning every time through the lineup because there was such bad production from down there. So now I think Arcia in the eighth spot gives them another guy who can, you know, make solid contact right now and who's been able to drive the ball a little bit. So I don't mind him down there at all still.
I got one more for you. I don't know how much you know about it, but I know there's been a little bit of talk lately about the spring training stadium situation. Do you know anything on that as far as, does it sound like it's going to happen? They're moving to Gilbert, Arizona from Maryvale? Or is this sort of just in the very grassroots level right now?
It's a little bit farther along than I think the earliest stages, if only because, you know, the media down there has caught wind of it, and it's something that is definitely being kicked around. The Brewers have apparently said that they're willing to put up $20 million towards a $90 million facility. Maryvale, as we all know, the neighborhood's not great, and the facility itself, in my opinion, I went down to spring training for the first time this year, and the facility itself at Maryvale is beautiful. All the fields are right there. You don't have to go far to get from the minor league side to the major league side. It's across a couple of parking lots. So it's nice to have everything kind of on one complex. Overall, though, moving out to Gilbert would give them a better location, a completely brand-new facility. Maryvale is old, and it's kind of small. They need more space to do, you know, proper major league-type spring training and training, and guys down there in rehab and all that other kind of stuff. They need bigger facilities, nothing else, in Maryvale. So whether the Phoenix, you know, the city of Phoenix wants to do something there or not, Gilbert could be a simple leverage point to get Phoenix and the Maryvale neighborhood to stop dragging their feet, or it could be, and I think it is, though, a legitimate option if they decided to move down there. There's enough space where they're talking about doing it somewhere on the 202 is the name of the highway down there that they would build close to. But it sounds like it could be a viable spot to make, not a world-class facility by any means, but certainly one that's in the upper echelon of all spring training sites.
He is Adam Rigg of the Brewer Nation and the FanRag Sports Network. Follow him on Twitter, at Brewer Nation. Adam, thanks for a couple of minutes this afternoon. The Cubs are looking to close it out here in the top of the ninth, about to get underway here. Nationals down by 3. Brewers, of course, half a game out. Hopefully the Nationals can get this done, but I'm not too optimistic with a 3-run deficit. I'll let you get back to moving.
Gosh, thanks, Mitch.
All right.
A pleasure.
Yep, see you on Thursday. All right, there he is, Adam Rigg, on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. When you're ready to get into or back into the housing market, look no further than Great Midwest Bank. Visit greatmidwestbank.com to take the next step towards your new home. Time now for a sports flash with Anthony Mandela while I try to figure out how to fix my microphone that I happen to have just broken. Sports flash coming up right now on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Now, here's the behind-the-scenes info as we take you inside the clubhouse. Brought to you by Coach's Pub and Grill on South 13th Street. Good food, good drinks, good people, and great fun. This is the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck Show on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Some 27 minutes away from first pitch between the Brewers and the Rays down in Tampa. Mayor Mitch Ross here getting you set for game 2 of 3 down there here this afternoon. Quick update here. The Cubs have an out here in the top of the ninth. The seemingly untouchable Wade Davis is on for the save. 7-4 Cubs right now. One out, top of the ninth. Nationals have one last bats here to try to tie it up or take the lead here. Otherwise, the Brewers will be looking at a one-game deficit as they enter play here this afternoon. Let's go inside the clubhouse here from WSSP Milwaukee Baseball Insider Adam McKelvey. He's on Twitter at Adam McKelvey. He joined the Wendy's Big Show yesterday afternoon. Eric Thames leading off yesterday as well as today. Here's Adam's thoughts on that.
Well, it's your best on base guy or one of your best on base guys. And even when he's not been hitting, now he had a good July again, but even when he wasn't hitting in May and June, he was still getting on base. He's also not hitting with runners in scoring position this year, which is a separate debate. You know, the stat guys will tell you that that's kind of an irrelevant stat, which makes the baseball guys kind of lose their mind, and maybe we shouldn't go down that road. But the fact is he's not had good numbers with runners in scoring position. So if you put him at the top of the lineup, he's a guy who gets on base, and you maybe have some guys who've had more success in those run-producing spots have an opportunity to drive him in, and I think that's the thinking there.
You know, when you talk about this Brewers team where they are right now, Rami was asking earlier whether or not you're starting to have doubts of this, whether or not this team can ever get out of this offensive funk that they've been in since the All-Star break. What do you say to that?
Well, it's a legit question, and I think another legit question is, you know, did they sort of realize over the break where they were and what opportunity they had and start to press? I mean, I don't think that's an insignificant question because – for that first half, they were just grinding away at the schedule, and it was all going really fast, and they weren't thinking about it. And you saw a great game at, say, Wrigley Field right before the break, and then remember that great series at Yankee Stadium where they got a lot of national attention, and they just were swinging the bats free and easy and relying on the guys around them, and it was going good. Then they take a couple of day break, and sort of, you know, that had to be on their minds. They're with family and friends over that All-Star break, and they're all asking about the Brewers being a big story in Major League Baseball, and, you know, maybe that affected them a little bit. Nobody's going to admit to that, and I've tried to raise the question with a couple of guys, and they all say, you know, no, it's just one of the cycles of the season. But I don't know. I think that's a pretty strong theory for what happened here. I think there's something to be said for perhaps they got iced by that break.
Yeah, Adam, can you really – I mean, I know it's been a while ago, but – Council was asked about, it seems like to me he was sick of answering questions about Braun, so he finally just said, hey, listen, Braun is day to day. Can we just stick with that from now on, or is it really you have to go, when is he going to play, how long is he going to play, and things of that nature?
Well, they I know they have it, you know, reasonably mapped out, kind of from series to series of how they're going to play him. And, you know, there are spots where he's going to play Cubs series, he played all three. They're going to play him, and people are going to get upset about it, and people are going to say he's a $20 million player who can't play every day and get all bent out of shape. But I don't think Craig Counsell is going to have that change his outlook on how they're going to go about this. The idea remains the same. Get as many games as you can of a productive Ryan Braun. And there's no scientific way to figure this out. It's a lot of feel between him and Council and the training staff of how far they can push him until you get to a point of diminishing returns. And there has been a lot of diminishing returns so far this season. It's been very frustrating for Ryan Braun, and they're trying to get him on the field as much as they possibly can, but have him be productive. The one other thing I'll say about Ryan Braun that's just been interesting, and it'll sound like an excuse, but it's not. He brought it up, and it wasn't, I can just promise you, it wasn't said this way, is if you look at his numbers, he is hitting, he has the highest hard hit percentage of his career, which is weird. So when he has been playing, he's been hitting the ball harder more often than in any other season, but his numbers are way down. So the way he's kind of looking at it is there has been some bad luck involved in some of the times he's up there and he's hit the ball hard. He's been robbed. You know, those stand out when you start to think about this. Those kind of at-bats will start to stand out. But that's something he has had on his mind a little bit. So I think they feel like they've had some success in this plan for playing time that they've had, even if that hasn't shown up necessarily in some of the numbers.
Baseball is 90% mental, and the other half is physical. So who's injured on the crew? Here's today's injury report on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show.
Brewers are starting to get a little healthy. Brennan Woodruff activated from the DL. Lewis Brinson sent down for him. Jet Bandy placed on the 10-day disabled list yesterday. Andrew Susak recalled from AAA Colorado Springs yesterday afternoon to take his place for 10 days up here at the big league club. Chase Anderson also still on the DL. Everything sounds pretty good by all reports for him so far on his recovery. He should be back relatively soon. Steven Vogt also sits on the 10-day disabled list with that knee injury. Hit a quick break on the other side. We'll go down on the farm, get you caught up on all the Brewers minor league action here from the weekend. That's next here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You're listening to the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. We're no longer on the bottom floor of the rebuild, Milwaukee. So what's going on in the minors? Here's today's Down on the Farm report.
Zach Davies against Alex Cobb tonight down in Tampa. Between the Brewers and the Rays, game two. Mitch Ross here getting you set on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin On Deck show. I'm a little perturbed right now. The Cubs finished off the Nationals. Bryce Harper was up first and second. Nationals down three. A home run would have tied it. Wade Davis playing with fire, even though that can burn him at any time. Bryce Harper would strike out, though, to end the game. Cubs win 7-4. The Brewers now an even one game behind the Chicago Cubs, obviously pending tonight's result. Time now to go down on the farm. The Brewers have a minor league system, as you might know, and they play games, too. First, we'll start in AAA, Colorado Springs. The Sky Sox, they took a 2-0 series lead with a 4-3 victory over the Salt Lake Bees yesterday. Second baseman Nate Orff, the offensive hero for the Sky Sox in that one. 4-for-4 at the plate with a two-run blast in the second inning last night. Junior Guerra, our old friend, he's the winning pitcher in that contest. He tossed 5 innings of one-run baseball, still struggling with his command, though. 4 walks and just 2 strikeouts, and despite giving up the 2 runs in the ninth, Tyler Cravey earned his 3rd save of the season as a member of the Sky Sox. Later today, Game 3 between the Sky Sox and Bees. Colorado Springs has a chance to clinch the series with an Angel Ventura start. Head down to AA Biloxi, where the Shuckers get a close win yesterday as well, 7-6 in the final of Game 1 against the Mississippi M Braves. Top of the ninth, Biloxi trailed 5-6, and a pinch-hit single from Gabriel Noriega scored a pair to give the Biloxi Shuckers the lead. In the process, Jorge Lopez earned the win. After pitching a scoreless 7th and 8th, Matt Ramsey then kept the Braves at bay to earn his 22nd save of the season. Game 2 of that series between the Biloxi Shuckers and the Mississippi Braves gets underway at 6 o'clock. Here today, John Perrin starts for the Shuckers. The winning continued yesterday for the Brewers affiliates yesterday. The Carolina Mudcats notching a 9-6 win over the Buies Creek Astros. Isan Diaz had himself a day at the plate in the win, 2-for-3 with 4 RBIs. The Mudcats and those Astros at it today. Buies Creek with a 2-0 lead now in the top of the fourth. We'll head down to Single A now. Is nearly a clean sweep for the farm system yesterday, but the Timber Rattlers lost a tough one at home, 8-7 in 11 innings against the Clinton Lumber Kings. That loss also a series loss for the Timber Rattlers. They look to turn it around later today, hosting Cedar Rapids for the first of 4 in Appleton. That's going to about do it for us here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Here on the Fan, my thanks to Rami Makhlouf as well as Adam Rigg for joining me on the roundtable. My thanks to Anthony Mandelli, the other side of the glass. He's the real MVP, putting together the Down on the Farm report, as per usual, on Saturdays for us here on the Fan. Zach Davies goes. He's 12-5 on the year with a 4.42 ERA. Been the benefactor of a lot of run support so far this season. Alex Cobb, 9-7 on the year, 3.89 ERA. He was lit up on Monday in Houston, so keep that in mind. Hopefully the Brewers' offense can get it going against Alex Cobb tonight. That's going to do it for us here on the Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin on Deck Show. Mitch Ross signing off. Everybody have themselves a good evening.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.